Knicks family, welcome back to the Garden Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Apollo Reed. We got a full house in here tonight. That part of me for my excitement. You know, this is the first time we've got everybody in here together. And we got plus one today. We got Phil of the Knicks Morning Brew. How you doing today, man? How you feeling?
I'm good, man. You know, it was a little bit of a disappointing loss, you know, so I know everyone's got a lot to talk about today. But I'm thankful to be on the podcast, so I appreciate you guys. Been checking you guys out for a while, so being able to actually connect and talk to you guys in person, or kind of in person, is an honor, so I appreciate you guys.
Right, man. Appreciate you reaching out. Appreciate you coming on, man, and taking the time out to jump on with us.
In this day and age, this is in person. This is how it goes after COVID. Right. This is in person. This is how it goes.
This is real life now. So everybody else, the rest of you guys, man, how's it just jump in? How you feeling? How's it been? How you doing?
I was trying to call one of the co-hosts on this show for his birthday. He didn't pick up the phone. Then I called him the next day, and he still didn't pick up the phone. Then he didn't come to my birthday little party shindig for my birthday.
Oh, boy.
So he's cut off. Anytime he talks, I'm going to talk over him.
So, all right. So, the caveat is recently.
He's not lying, though.
My cousin's birthday, Rick, was this past Thursday. Happy belated birthday to Rick, everybody.
Happy belated birthday, Ricky.
Thank you. And followed by my brother's birthday on Saturday. So another clap up for Andre.
Both guys are 27 years young.
That's 27, it. Boy. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to make it look good.
They're both younger than me somehow. I don't know how that happened. But I'm going to rock with it. Love y'all. Joe, how you been, man? How you feeling?
This is a rough one, bro.
He got a lot. He got a lot on his mind.
I do, man. Like,
we need to start with Joe.
All right. So can we just get right into it?
Yeah, wait, Rick. All right. You have anything to say, Rick?
No, I'm good. All right. Happy birthday, Joe.
All right. Thank you. So after the game, I'm just scrolling, right? Just to scroll. Like, I know I got like 5 minutes before I needed to come on here. So I'm just scrolling, and then I just see, like, one after another, Knicks fans blaming this game. And if I'm wrong, somebody please interrupt. Blaming this game on Julius Randle. Julius disappeared in the fourth. Julius didn't do anything in the fourth. And it's just like, the guy checked back in with, like, 7 minutes left, right? I always tell Knicks fans, you hear me say this all the time on this very show, the other team is not going to allow you to do what you want to do. The Wolves were not going to allow Randle to score 26 points in the fourth quarter. You know what I mean? Like, it just wasn't going to happen. So the idea that, like, Julius disappeared in the fourth, no, the Wolves took him away. Quickly's got to hit his open shots. He had a couple of good looks and didn't knock him down. I felt like, I mean, who was it? Jalen had a bunny that he missed in the paint, which I thought was a big shot. I think that shot would have tied it. Like, so there's other stuff happening.
Right.
Yeah, he always makes that shot.
But
so it's like,
still the one scoring. He still got that 3-point play down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on his fault. It was a sloppy fourth quarter from like the whole game.
The Knicks were sloppy all night. They turned it over way more than they normally do.
Yeah.
Right.
And I mean, if you turn it over, like Tibbs says, turnovers, low turnovers, rebound the ball, and you play defense, you'll win games. The Knicks didn't play defense. They weren't really on the offensive glass like they normally are tonight.
Hold on.
They weren't on the offensive glass like they normally are. And they turned it over. So that equals a loss. But I'm not going to pin it on Julius. No way. Nah. Not tonight, man. Not tonight, yo.
Nah.
Not tonight.
We're not in that game if it wasn't for Julius.
I disagree. I think we should completely blame Julius Randle. How dare he make a career night
56
and score so many points,
right?
I mean, how dare you
and not finish it off?
Exactly. That's how they sound. That's exactly how they sound.
How dare he score 56 points?
He should have done more.
I guess what bothers me is, like, if we would have won this game, like, nobody would have had exactly. Yeah. So it's like, the other team has a say. That's all I'm saying is the other team has a say,
right?
And I leave it at that.
Well, the moral to the story,
and credit to the Wolves tonight. They played a hell of a game.
Yeah, well, at the end of the day, Joe, you got to stop scrolling after the game.
I do. Yeah, I really do, yo. Big facts.
You can fall into a trap there. Jose Garcia says Randall was exhausted from shooting so much. I mean, at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't think he was exhausted. I think the Wolves said, you're not going to be the guy in the fourth quarter. That's period.
Facts. Brew Crew Sports, shout out to the paying for
Brew Crew
for having Brew Crew on. What's going on, man? Well, shout out to you. Shout out to you guys, man.
Shout out, guys.
Feel on. So speaking of, while we on the topic of, or while we're talking about the Brew Crew, Phil, how do you feel about, well, tell me what you saw tonight. You know, general summary of what you thought.
Yeah. So first topic, based off what you guys are talking about Julius Randle in the third, you know, I was posting that this could be the greatest offensive game that I've seen from Julius Randle, based off his shot selection, based off of him being willing to give up the ball when he didn't have the best shot. But I think both statements can be true. I think you can say that his offensive game and some of his decisions kind of disappeared in the fourth quarter, but still not blame the loss on Julius Randle. Because it wasn't all on Julius Randle.
Like, absolutely not. I agree with that.
Such as, you know, it's never a good look when Julius Randle's guarded heavily to go behind the back for a dribble. Like, we've never seen that in all of the years that we've seen Julius Randle.
Didn't turn out
never
well.
Never seen that work out well. Like, right, it's never been like, oh, he did the behind the back. You know, we love it. We all kind of get anxious when we see that. We're like, oh, what's going to happen here? Mm-hmm. So things like that were obviously not the best looks for him.
Right.
But if you're going to blame anybody, you got to blame the whole team. You had guys like Grimes, as much as I love Grimes. Grimes was not there tonight. Like, yeah. Grimes did not show up. He had a few clutch threes, but that's about it. That's why he didn't get a lot of playing time.
Yeah, one. Jaylen that's Brunson. It.
Yeah, one.
The
one.
Only shot he took.
Yeah. Jaylen Brunson, you know, like, he was incredible, as always, but he had very clutch baskets that he missed down the stretch. Mm-hmm. RJ Barrett, his shooting percentage was great. But like we said in our chat a little bit earlier, he was doubting himself. So he didn't take a bunch of shots. All the shots he took looked great. They were effective, but he didn't shoot a lot. So when he's not putting up baskets, it can't really help us on the scoreboard. And so what I had talked about earlier, I had released a short talking about RJ Barrett's last game. And I was talking about how our biggest strength is that RJ Barrett's not a number one. The fact that he is our number three, because not a lot of teams have a number three that can show up and play well when our one and our two get locked down defensively. Unfortunately, we didn't see that. In the fourth quarter, when we got locked down on Jaylen Brunson and the defense turned up on Randle, RJ Barrett was not, unfortunately, putting in the baskets that we needed to see from him. But I'm still, you know, even though we took an L, you know, I've been loving seeing the heart-to-heart connection over these last few games. The Josh Hart and Hartenstein combination has been incredible, the way that they look for each other. Seeing that the team is starting to look for Obi again on lobs is a good thing. That's definitely something you want to see. So overall, I thought it was unfortunate that we lost to a Timberwolves without their main two guys. Like, that's a hard L to walk away with. But no one played defense. You know, Frazier said it. You know, he's like, if you want to see an offensive game, you are loving it right now. If you love watching defense, this is a painful game to watch.
Yeah,
and it was, you know, so that's what it comes down to. It was poor defense on both ends. They just wound up getting more buckets. When you have a guy like Torian Prince all of a sudden look like he's Larry Bird from three-point land, like, what are you going to do? Like, he's going to have a stellar game like that. You know, our defense needed to be there.
Yeah, man, it was very, very hard for me to watch from the beginning, because they started off, I think, like 10 for 10 or 11 for 11 or something like that. They didn't miss a shot. Like, everything they put up, they made. Gobert's making free throws. Like, they literally could not miss anything. It was crazy. It was really Gobert annoying.
Making free throws. Like, it was just,
like, come on. Like, what's going on?
It was like the game came from the heavens for, like, Minnesota. Because I was like, with the Torian Prince knocking down, what was he, 8 for 8?
It was 8 for 8 from the
thing. And it's just like, all right, this is just one of those nights.
Just one of those nights.
These dudes are on it. Like, because, you know, Torian Prince ain't no 8 for 8 kind of. This was just his night. You know, on a normal night, he might be. Because 4 for 4 would have been like a a good night for him. Yeah, but right. 3 foot, you know what I mean? 3 for 5 would have been like, okay, like the. So now we in the game. So it was just one of those. It seemed like we ran out of steam at the end. Right. No big deal. You know, I'm really happy with where the Knicks are. I was looking at what team that I was looking. I was like, oh, shoot. I was like, the Knicks are better than them. Mm. I think it was like the Suns. I was like, we got a better record than a lot of teams in the league. The Knicks are doing good. And I'm excited. It was one of those games. You know, we can't win them all. Mm-hmm. We should have won this, you know, considering we beating the best team in the West and all of this stuff going on. So a game like this, it's like at home. It's a rough one, but I like Joe said before, we can't pin it on any one person. But it's just how the cookie crumbles.
I thought the biggest play of the game was that quickly foul.
Oh, when he that was big because he got hit in the eye when he got hit in the face. He hit him in the back of the head when he came back down. When that joint, he bumped into him.
When he got fouled on the three.
You mean? Conley.
When he fouled Conley on the three.
It fell kind
on
of
the screen.
He
on the screen,
and then he bumped him, and he went like this, and Conley hit him in the head, like not on purpose, but that's just a play, just for
that was a swing. That was a swing play. Yeah,
that was a big.
I thought that was a huge play because Conley goes to the line and hits all three, puts them up one, and they never look back.
Yeah, that was it. That was the.
What about the push off at the very end against Brunson?
That was the back
two push offs.
That was a surprise, no call.
Benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, that was a surprise, no call, and that's why Randall, I think he was so upset because they was trying to catch the Knicks with that all night.
Right. Because Randall had a call earlier in the game where they called an offensive foul and he didn't touch the guy.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. It was the officiating was very, very odd tonight.
It was weird.
It was very, very weird and frustrating. I knew whenever we go against Gobert and you have a team that primarily gets a lot of their buckets in the paint, this is kind of what you're going to get. Like, these guys are going to struggle. There was times where Brunson gets to the paint, and then he sees Gobert, and he's looking to pass
it out. Oh, yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
He sees Gobert. He's passing it out.
Well, that's a Gobert type of
right.
Thing. I thought Gobert was terrific tonight, man.
Yeah, he's amazing. He was amazing because he didn't have to actually block many shots. He was just there to be a presence.
You just know it's coming. That's why everybody's trying to get it because usually Brunson does the little fake, and he go back.
Yes. I mean, they only took 8 shots.
We caught up when he went to the bench. That's when the Knicks started attacking the basket, getting layups and everything like that, and scoring in the paint. Mm-hmm. They put him back out there. It was like, no. Yeah. Go back out there now. And so that was a smart play on the coach's point because that was the big reason why they started to score.
Mm-hmm.
And did we mention Taurean Prince went 8 for 8 on the night?
Eight for 8. 35.
Don't forget, he only missed one shot. Only one shot in total, man. and one free throw.
Oh my goodness.
Ridiculous, man.
It was one point in the first half where he said, I didn't even realize it because, you know, you're not looking at the numbers, but he said the Knicks are shooting 60-something% and they down 15 points.
Yo, because they were just on fire and they kept saying it. They can't play like this all game, can they?
Right.
And they did.
For some
odd reason, they were on fire all night long.
Yeah, it was just one of those nights. It was just one of those nights. Their star sitting on the bench, their star young player sitting on the bench. It's kind of like
stars. Two of them, Cat.
And then the biggest play for me at the end was that drive by Taurean Prince. I think if he misses that and we get the rebound and we go back
That was after we had the rebound. Julius got to squeeze that, man.
He's got to squeeze
it. He was there like it was. He thought it was his, and somebody else knocked it.
Yeah, it was way too nonchalant, man.
In the game, you got to grab that ball, man, and come down with it. Like, that's it. You can't just come down and.
Yeah. I think he was already in his next play.
He was already heading down the court.
That's one thing I love about Mitch, man. He rebound with two hands. Secures the ball.
One thing about Mitch, I'm starting to realize he fumbles the ball a lot when they give him drop offs. If it's not an alley, he kind of struggles with drop offs. I don't know.
Seems like because we talked about that before. I think Ricky pointed out that he's looking up for the offensive rebound.
Yeah, every time.
And guys are just dropping it off to him, and he's not expecting it.
Well, sometimes he's actually like, you know, like tonight quickly gave him a pass, like, you know, it was like a dead man chest pass.
Yeah,
he was like. You know, and I'm like,
he ain't ready for it. But that's what he was complaining about. He's doing cardio, and he's not getting, he's not expecting it now. So,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But my favorite rebound on the Knicks, or whatever, is Josh Hart. This dude is like going after everything. He's going after everything. Either he's getting a rebound or he's right there.
Still my favorite Nick, man. That's my favorite Nick.
Yeah, that boy right there plays. We got some games. You know, he does those little turnovers where they steal it. He steals it back somehow. It's just like he's the best at that. Like
He never gives up on a play. He's
I love
certain guys like they make a defensive mistake and then they just start jogging back for defense. Like, nah, he's right on it. Like
I love that. I love that dude.
Like I said, bro, nobody's ever gonna want it more than Josh Hart. You don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
He went close to close, almost back to back tonight.
You know what I would like to see though, man? I would like to see the Knicks. Like, I feel like they get in these games at the end of games. I feel like they slow it down too much.
Right.
If you look in the third quarter, and usually when they're thriving, it's because they're pushing the pace.
Right.
Yeah. And it's 5 minutes left. It's not. You can't shut it. You can't shut it down with 5 minutes left.
But hold up, Joe. I've been saying this for years.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
Who we got, who the coach is, it's like, all right, we win in the game, and now it's just like, he's standing
the prevent, like, the prevent offense.
And then it's right. Just like, that's when they start losing, because they start slowing down the pace, that momentum they lose, because now it's like they're not playing basketball anymore. Well, they're playing basketball, but they're playing like a different brand all of a sudden. Yeah.
Right.
And we get to this place where it's like, all right, now if that didn't work, now everybody's going like this, you got the paint, they're trying to throw it. And it just turns into this now 24-second clock violation, and it's just like all of this craziness happens. And like forever, it just seems like I don't know what it is. Like, just run the play. Let's go in it. Like you said, 5 minutes is nothing. You can't start shutting it down 4 minutes. It's like an eternity.
Right.
In the NBA. You could come back with a 20-point deficit with that kind of time in today's NBA.
It's another number that stood out to me, like, you know, especially because we only lost by 6 points. The fact that they have 17 second chance points, and we only had 6. You know what I mean? Wow. And that's
because they were knocking everything down. What's the plus minus on the game today?
Huh?
What's the plus minus? You got them numbers up there. I want to see who.
The Knicks did not have not one guy with a plus minus tonight.
Get out of here!
How?
Swear to God, not one guy.
Look, Jesus. There. The closest was Mitchell Robinson with 0.
Oh, I think. Mitch and Toppin both had 0.
Dang. Wow. Yeah, you got Jalen with -8. He's this. Wow. At least this ain't Hart. Well, Hartenstein, you know, they said he may not score, but he'll have like the highest plus minus.
Right.
So tonight was one of those just outliers. You know what I mean? It wasn't really like who the Knicks are, but and we only lost by 6 points.
Tonight was a weird game, bro. Like,
the way the Wolves shot it
was just absurd. Like, there's no other word to describe
career
it.
Career night for Taurean Prince. And that's it. Like, literally, if he did not have the night that he had, if he missed 2 of those 3-pointers, this is a different game. He was 8 for 8 from 3. Like, that just changes the entire outlook of the game, man.
I mean, it's like Phil pointed out. This was more of an offensive game. Because if you look at the final score, 134 to 140, that's
crazy.
That's too high.
Well, also, credit to the Knicks for being down in this game and actually coming back and actually making this and taking the lead.
Yeah.
They had the lead. They had a lead, man, and then they just lost it at the end. I think they just started to go away from what was working a little bit, and they were too nonchalant about keeping that lead. And, you know, turnovers, that's the easiest way.
Way too many of those tonight, man.
That momentum will just drain right out the window if you do that, so...
If you look at the minutes, I could understand Julius and Jalen being tired also.
Right.
They played a lot of minutes. That's like, you know, almost like a full game. Not full game, but.
I mean, but we've seen Julius 40, 50 minute games. Like, I think Julius, that's what I'm saying. Like, when it comes to tired, like being tired, I think Julius, this is a normal game for Julius.
Yeah, I told you, bro. This guy, to me, bro, I know that people look at it like, oh, he's gassed. I don't think he was gassed in the fourth quarter.
He's mad.
I just think that I think the Wolves was just like, dude, not tonight, not in the fourth, bro.
The thing that scares me, though, but it don't even take a good team, because one thing, my biggest complaint with Julius is usually just about every game is him putting the ball on the floor. He doesn't have the handle to be running out. They're giving him the ball at the top. I'm like, why is he the man handling the rock right now? I just, anybody but him up there handling the rock. So he starts doing behind the back. He's turning and spinning. You can see teams are waiting for him to spin now. Right. Yeah. I don't know if you ever see it. They got the guy on the help. He don't really help. He just waiting for him to spin. As soon as he spins, they get right in there.
They wait for him. As soon as he turns his back in a post, you turn your back to another guy. That guy's coming right over his shoulder.
Yeah. So a lot of times it's like it was like the typical Randall. Like he turns around, he'll spin, he's starting to dribble, and he doesn't have the handle for that. I just don't understand what it is with the game and the balance, and the ball is in his hand early. I know he's our star.
Yeah.
Or one of our stars, and you can't just tell him just cut him off. But yo, give the rock and give it to him low in the post. Like he's way high in the post. Like he's posting dudes right in front of the 3-point line.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like way too early. I don't know. That part right there, that always scares me. Because you see him, they dribbling up the court after they score, they're giving it to him before they cross half court. I'm like, why is a power forward bringing it up? We got Brunson, you got Hart, you got Quickly.
But there was some place credit to Julius where he grabbed the ball and he saw Jalen and he throws the ball right to Jalen.
Yeah, and that's fine, but it's when it's when he goes into that point forward like mentality that we've all been ecstatic that he's moved out of. Like,
right.
he's not an Anthony Mason. He's not going to throw it through his legs, get past people, and drive to the bucket. He's not that kind of player. Mm-hmm. And so it kind of goes hand in hand with what you guys were saying earlier about how they went away from what was working in the third. In the third, we were fast-paced. The guards had the ball. They were able to find Julius Randle in the best positions for him. Mm-hmm. Then we slow it down, and we pretty much make our offense predictable, especially with Julius Randle bringing down the ball as much as he did. Like, we're saying, hey, now's your chance to double-team him and stop what we have. Right. And it completely stops the momentum. Like, you see guys that thrive. In the fast pace, like Josh Hart and Emmanuel Quickly, now just being stagnant, waiting to get the ball to figure out what to do, because now it's moving through a slow Julius Randle offense. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. The last time you want to get predictable is in the fourth quarter, when you need to be unpredictable, where you need to get buckets creatively.
Like, to me, when they push the pace, it causes all kinds of chaos, man.
And you know what?
And they go, even there was one play where RJ pushed the pace and he almost turned it over. He almost turned it over. And it gets kicked into the corner for a Quickly three. And it's like, even though I don't know what the hell RJ was trying to accomplish, it turned into something positive because they pushed the pace. Because the Wolves were out of position. So I love when this team plays fast.
Yeah.
And Rudy Gobert, somebody their best defender, is too slow to keep up with that kind of a thing. And
exactly.
He's not really fast.
And so that's when you let this, you let them set their defense with this guy, man.
Yeah, and then he could get rebounds and everything. He's a dangerous dude to let get comfortable. And one guy I saw pushing the pace, trying to push the pace, was Josh Hart. He went down there, and he would dribble, and he would just get these layups. And I'm like, see, he gets it. He understands how the game goes. But, yeah, they were slowing it down. And like you said, with Gobert down there, it makes it really tough to get settled in the score. Because anything you got to do, if you're trying to get to the basket, Gobert is just going to ruin that for you.
He's right there. He's right there every single time. And that's the problem that you're going to run into in the playoffs if you have a team that has one of those defense. That's why we don't want to see Milwaukee. We don't want anything to do with Giannis.
I'm good.
Giannis and Brook Lopez is probably the scariest thing that could happen to us in the playoffs.
But if we have aspirations to get to the second round, I mean, that's probably what we're going to see.
More than likely, that's probably where it'll end. Like, you know, I'm just being real.
I'm just talking about this in my head every single day. Let's stop.
Well, we're talking about
take care around one first.
No, it's matchups. As long as we don't got to play those kind of guys, because we're not gonna if we end up playing against the Cavs, that they don't have that kind of lineup. You know what I mean?
They kind of do. I mean, Jared Allen is.
But if you
get out really good, bro.
It's easier to get him in foul trouble than Gobert.
He's a good matchup with Mitch. I like that matchup.
But it's easier to get him in foul trouble than it is Gobert. You know what I'm saying? Like that's a different kind of defensive matchup. And it's not like he has like the best defensive lockup guy next to him within Evan Mobley. He's more of an offensive guy. He's serviceable on defense. But, you know, he's not like the Twin Towers in Milwaukee or even like, you know, we saw tonight. So, you know, that's probably why we probably can make something happen in the first round there. But until we consistently knock down threes at a higher clip. And that's part of the fabric of our offense. And that's not just something that we can do depending on the night.
I mean, 14 to 28 tonight.
Yeah, for sure. Like, for sure.
But they just couldn't stop nobody.
Yeah, they couldn't stop anybody. That's the other side of the coin. Like, you can't let guys like Torian Prince go off and have 35 points, 8 for 8 from the 3-point line. That just can't happen.
Why does that happen to the Knicks? Where you get the guy like you forgot he was in the NBA.
It don't just happen to the Knicks, though.
Nah, it's the Garden. It happens to the Knicks. It's the Garden.
I know it happens. What I'm saying is that it happens to other teams too. You just don't watch other teams.
Yeah, but it happens all the time in the Garden. It doesn't happen when we're in their town.
Yeah,
we shut them down there. But when they come here, they want that shine, and we gift it to them time and time again. You get because I'm like, why is he open? You get guys like Niang from the Sixers coming to town, and right, all of a sudden he looks like Reggie.
Yeah, man, it's crazy, bro. Yeah, he's like
Reggie. Yo, Niang does it every single time.
Like Reggie? No, like that's Niang.
And it's almost like we haven't learned at all.
I thought that was Reggie.
Yeah, Drake. Yeah, Dre is ridiculous. Yeah.
He's funny, bro. He's a funny dude.
Indiana? but Phil, it's true. It's just like we get these games where you get somebody who hasn't played or they just come back from like an injury or something and they just going off. And then nobody's defending them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
We had Ricky Rubio go off in the Garden.
Yo, that's what this game. This game Rubio. Remind this game tonight from Prince reminded me of the Ricky Rubio game, where Rubio just couldn't miss anything.
This dude was resurrected, man.
Like, what a game, bro! Like, what a game from him tonight. I mean, yo,
Rubio. It's like, what are we?
Yo, doing? Listen, man. I'm one that like to give credit, yo. I thought the Wolves played a hell of a game, bro.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, they were all right. But
they had a good. They had like one of those.
These are all of the stuff.
No, they'll never have a game like this. I'm willing to bet money. Terry and Prince will never have a game like this
ever.
Yo, bro, they came into our building. They came into our building and they beat us fair and square, bro.
First time. They had a perfect game. This ain't gonna happen.
Yo, I wouldn't say fair and square to the refs for acting tonight, but
the refs are always.
Don't give me that, man.
You know I don't bring the refs up. You know I don't ever.
Don't give me that. The Knicks lost this game. The refs didn't.
We lost because of our defense.
They did, but we had.
Yeah, exactly.
The fact that you got guys like Kyle Anderson that look like you're watching the game in slow-mo repeat, and he's actually in real time, and he is scoring, and he is able to defend our guys. That
so
just
he's gonna lay it like this.
Yeah, like, he moves like Jokic without any Jokic skill whatsoever.
That shot right there in the corner from Prince was ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah.
The games you love.
It was just nice.
I hate watching him play ball, but you gotta respect it because it works, man. This guy, his name is Slow Mo, and let you know that he's gonna go slow on a play, but yet he still gets it every single time. I was saying
to myself, if
he didn't have that hype, he would not be as impactful as he is.
Yo, Torian Prince didn't touch the rim all night, yeah.
Not
all these shits are splash, yo. Splash.
Why would you?
It was one of those.
Why wouldn't you keep shooting? You keep shooting.
It was one of those nights for him, man. And yeah, absolutely. At that point, you gotta let it fly every single time. And I don't even blame these guys for feeling however they want to feel about this game because they just wouldn't miss. Like there's only but certain, like you know. Jalen Brunson is trying. You saw on all of those shots, Jalen Brunson is there. Like it's like
yeah, that's something else trying. I wanted to talk about. I don't know. So a lot of the time, and most nights it works out fine because he's not terrible. But tonight, like the Knicks was trying to hide Jalen on Jaden McDaniels.
They were.
And Jaden McDaniels is too good to hide Brunson.
I saw that and I was like, 6'9"? I don't know about that.
I know he's not the greatest point of attack defender, but I almost feel like they would have been better off just having him out there on Conley, than trying to put him on this guy. You know what I mean? He's just too good. He's got a little bit too much game and too much size to just throw Jalen on him.
He got away with the push off too. That was one of those.
It doesn't help when the ref is letting them. Yeah. You know, push the guy around.
There was two of those, and I think the verdict is out on them because they've been watching this game. They know he does kind of like. I wouldn't say he flops, but he sells it. So they're trying not to get caught in the cell. But
yeah.
you gotta give.
Nah, them. don't tell me that. Not after I watched these guys buy everything that Marcus Smart was selling a couple weeks ago. in Boston. Listen, they bought everything he was selling, man. Yeah, so don't tell me that.
You got that too, kid. Oh, that too? Let me get that one right there. Give me that one.
Marcus Smart is like a pawn shop.
Yeah. Yeah, he was selling snake oil all night that night, and they gave him every call, man.
I'm telling you, bro, every single time he wants anything, they're like, yo, you got it, bro.
He was working hard one night, and that was a fail. You saw that. He went out, like, over the pick. He got a little bump. He tried to sell that. He didn't get that one.
That didn't work. One thing about Josh Hart that I do want to mention, and, you know, he's, like I said, it's my favorite Nick. Obviously, it's my guy. But the thing about Josh Hart that does kind of tick me off a little bit sometimes is that he just doesn't take the shot.
Oh, I knew you was going to say that, bro. He don't let it fly, bro.
Doesn't take the shot. There's a shot there for him often, night after night, and he doesn't take it. Now, credit to him for looking for the better shot. Sometimes we just need you to take the shot. You know what I'm saying?
And you know what happens a lot of the times, like, he'll pass up on what was the best shot. Of the possession, and we won't get another one. It'll end up being like them throwing a grenade to Julius with like 5 seconds left, right, and saying, "Yo, go do something." Right. And then Knicks fans will attack Julius for getting the ball with 4 seconds on the clock and taking a bad shot.
Throwing it up because he got to.
Right. Like, yo, what kind of shot was that, Julius? But you didn't realize. What
like the ball just got dumped to him with 5 seconds left at the top of the key. Right.
So, like, I mean, I do appreciate him for looking for the right pass. But sometimes, like I said, like, when we're getting it to you in this offense, when you have 2 to 3 feet, 4 feet of a space between you and the defender, and he's not a terrible 3-point shooter on top of it.
Cuz.
What, Ricky?
You said that Josh Hart is your favorite Nick.
Yo, bro.
Right. I think that was echoed.
He did say that.
Let him play his game. If you don't want to take a shot, don't take the shot.
No, probably not a good shot.
You're probably gonna miss it, and then you know what you're gonna end up saying? Yo, why Josh Hart taking these shots?
If Josh Hart is open, I want him to take the shot.
I will never be mad at you for taking an open shot. I don't care. That's why sometimes I don't get mad at RJ, because 90% of the time he's wide open. Like, they're not gonna guard him. But
he takes his shots. He may not take every single shot because, you know, like you said, he's looking for the better shot. But if he don't feel it, I don't want you taking it. Yeah, you gotta believe every shot you put up.
He's in the middle though. Like, not forcing shots and making wise decisions is a huge, strong, like, plus for him. That's a strength of his.
Absolutely.
However, when you're a guy who has been on fire from three as a Nick, I think he's shooting at least 50 to 60%.
Yeah, like something like
and
that.
Games like tonight where you have wide open three attempts and you take none of them.
Zero.
Like, that's huge. Zero. You know, like Michael Jordan said it best. You miss all the shots.
100% of the shots you don't take.
Right. You miss 100%.
But if he feels like he's going to miss 100% of the shots he does take, don't take
them. But Ricky.
If you're going to get something that is a guaranteed bucket and you see that, then that's wisdom. But a lot of times it's, I'm going to not shoot it, try to find something else, and then there's not something.
There's nothing. Yeah.
So that three or that two would have been a possible guaranteed bucket.
You're not
preach
wrong.
It.
You're not wrong, but at the same time, the shooter, he's in that position. If he don't feel like that's the move to make,
it's bad offense, Ricky.
But Ricky, I don't think that's why he's not shooting it. I don't think he's doing it.
it's bad offense, Ricky.
I just think that he's going because he knows there's other people on the team who can shoot.
Absolutely.
He don't want to be the guy. I don't think it's that he's even doubting himself. I just think that he's trying to fit in his role.
Exactly. And that's where we want him.
But that's like, all right, playing devil's advocate. When RJ Barrett was shooting like 8% from 3-point, and all of us would see him go to take a 3-pointer, and we're like, holy crap.
Yeah, you scared.
Give it up. And then you had the group of people that are like, oh, just let the shooter figure it out. And I'm like, no, the shooter, if he hasn't figured it out by now that he's shooting 8% for 3 points for the last 5 games, right. Like, I don't want the shooter to figure it out because he's oblivious to what's there.
Right.
So same thing with Josh Hart. Like, yes, be wise as the player you are because that's your strength, but also have a little bit of confidence in the fact that you have done amazing, you know, and you look at the numbers, they've been there. So to second guess himself for something that's not a guarantee is the thing where you got to kind of challenge it a little bit and be like, you got this.
Mm-hmm. And Phil, to piggyback off that, he's a career 36% 3-point shooter.
Right.
Like, let that shit fly, bro.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying is there's a reason why he is shooting the way he is.
It's bad offense, though, Ricky.
Yo, listen, the point of swinging the ball to the open shooter is
if they're open.
Shoot the ball.
It's for the open shooter to shoot it, bro. Yeah, like, you can't just not shoot
reset.
It.
Not reset.
Because now you got Mitchell Robinson because he thinks you're going to shoot the wide open three. He under the basket. He under the basket. Yeah, getting a 3-second violation because he's looking up. Like, you got to shoot the rock, yo. Got to shoot the rock, bro.
Yo, it's crazy because he'll just start boxing out, and then the ball won't go up, and he's like, that's it. And it's like,
got to shoot the rock, bro.
Got to shoot the rock. And sometimes, like, he does create an amazing play out of it. That happened earlier tonight. I forgot exactly what play it was, but it turned into a turnover for him. Matter of fact, I think it was his only turnover. Let me see.
Ooh, Josh Hart?
Yeah, Josh Hart. Because it was kind of
turnover.
Yeah, it was kind of like, all right, well, I think you could have just.
We certainly ain't lose this game because of Josh Hart.
No, we didn't lose the game because of Josh Hart.
No, absolutely, not
that's all. That's not even what the combo is now. But I do want to see him go getting a little bit more aggressive for just looking for a shot. Like, just in this clip that I'm going to show right now, he didn't even look at the basket, and that's kind of what. You know, I'm talking about. It's like he gets the board, and then it's like, boom. Not that there was a shot there, but like, you know what I mean? Like, automatically, like, he didn't even think. He's just automatically going to pass that out, and that's kind of what I'm talking about. Sometimes it's going to lead to a turnover. Sometimes, but that doesn't always happen with him. To his credit, that's not something that we see often with him. But you know.
Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just don't 100% agree.
Yo, speaking of hunting shots, right?
Because you know, athletes, they're instinctual. So if they're not feeling it, the people that we complain about the most, who we know are not as talented, are the ones we say are low IQ players because they're thinking. Like the people who can assess the situation quickly and make good decisions, I think Josh Hart would fall under that category. So, yeah. But there are some times where he should shoot the rock. But at the same time, you want him to be confident in the shots that he takes. Because those are the ones that you most likely will make.
Right. But the best guys always say,
they figure it out.
You got to take those shots. But listen, this is not a big deal. I don't even know. This is not even a big deal.
No, it's not.
Because
it's not
you're trying to say deal. That it's Josh Hart, his fault that we lost.
It's not what we see.
Lost by six if he took those open 3-point shots.
We do. I just want to see him. I want to see him.
That's not what I'm saying.
I want to see him shoot the ball more, be more of a willing shooter is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But speaking of hunting a shot, there was a play tonight, and this is why I need Quentin Grimes to like really, I don't know, just come more into his own. Because he had a play tonight in transition where it was literally him and Mike Conley. And he was going downhill, and he just stops dead in his tracks, picks up his dribble, and starts looking for somebody to pass the ball to.
Like, yo, last time he had the ball.
It probably was the last time he had the ball. Yeah. But, like, he had you got a huge size advantage. You're going downhill. Like, you got to go at him, man.
Who's this?
So, Quentin Grimes. He had a play. I want to say it was the end of the second. I want to say it was.
I just didn't play a lot. I think they yanked him. Didn't they yank him like the second half of the game or like the fourth?
Well, he only played 21 minutes tonight.
Took one shot.
21 minutes?
And took one shot.
I remember him being on
and made that shot. You know, I think sometimes, I don't know what it is with Grimes. I'm not sure if he's following too much into the game plan. Like sometimes you can bend the rules a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like that's, I think quickly has started to branch off into the point where he's going to start bending the rules more often than not. Like you start to see it in his game now where he's like, all right, move Julius. You know what I'm saying? Like you're starting to see it in him. Like, all right, like now I'm going to take the shot. This is my play. Like I'm quickly takes dumb shots now. Sometimes I'm like, it's progress. Like, you know what I mean? Like he's waving off Julius to do it.
How many years is this now for quickly? Is this his third?
Yeah, year three.
This,
yeah.
So and I usually I get Grimes gets a pass from me, and I was saying this about quickly earlier and about Obi Toppin, and I'm like, this is their third year, and it you can see the growth because you can see that quickly was hunting for all of those fouls, going to the basket and losing it, trying to get those, and he's matured beyond that, and so I think Grimes is second season, he's gotten the start, he started off with an injury. And I just think I got all the excuses for Grimes. I think he's like one of those good boys. Yeah. He's one of those good boys that wants to fit into the scheme. Like you said, Cap, he's not trying to go against what the scheme is or what coach wants and so forth and so on.
Yeah.
And sometimes to his detriment. You know what I mean?
Like and to be clear, like I'm good with Grimes. Everybody knows that. Y'all know how I feel about Quentin Grimes. But I see certain situations where it's just like, man, I wish he was a little bit more aggressive in that
just
situation.
Be like a little crazier and just dunk on somebody. Just like, just go for it, shoot it. Like whatever it is, like be a little
bit
more.
The same thing. He's also only played 107 career games. So give him a break.
He's a young blood.
But 100%. The same thing we said about Hart, you know, it goes with him too. You know, like it's great that you shot 100%, but you shot one shot. Like, you know, like we've seen how you are a better shooter, you know, when you're in your rhythm, than at least 50-something% of our team, you know? So you shooting one shot doesn't really help us, you know? Like, because when you catch fire, that's a good thing. But we're not going to know if you catch fire with one shot.
Pudge, we not getting on that train, bro. That bench Quentin Grimes train, like...
That's what he said.
I put it
up. Like we not hopping on that train, bro.
Nah, listen, I put it up there on purpose to piss Joe off.
Yeah, bro. Like y'all know how I feel about that. We not hopping on that train, and I swear I'll disown anybody if any one of y'all hop on that train. I'm never talking to y'all again. Yeah, we not doing that. Yeah.
Y'all know who we could bench? Y'all know who we could bench?
Don't start. We're going to get to RJ next, RJ.
What's up, Phil?
The thing about Grimes is it doesn't make sense to bench a player like Grimes because he fits a little more so in the starting lineup than he would in the bench.
100%.
Our biggest strength right now going into the playoffs is that our bench is better than 90% of the teams that we will go against. So 100%. It's our bench that's going to help us win games. If our bench is on, that is our biggest weapon. And so bringing Josh Hart, I think, totally would ruin the actual essence of what our bench brings because we need that energy. Because the benches that we're going to compete against, they're not going to have that diehard dog mentality off the bench that Josh Hart is going to bring and the other guys are going to follow. So,
yo, Phil, you just want to do it. Phil, you just want to do it. Yo, Phil, you just want to do the show, yo? he's a man of my heart.
For sure.
He's a man of my heart, yeah.
And yo, Dre, he's getting all the points, bro.
Yo, Dre, who do you think we should bench?
Because that's really going to be a conversation that will be here for the free
game. I'm curious. I'm going to say it like this. And I don't know if it's the bench thing because that's a whole other dynamic thing. But I do think in the offseason we need to really look at some players on the team and see what's going on. I mean, he just signed a new contract, so I'm not sure. But I'm off the RJ Barrett train, like, by a bunch. And I have been for a little
while. You've been off, though. I think you've been off since.
I don't think he ever got on, man. He had the ticket. He had one foot on the first step, but he was just like, ah.
The door. The door was like bing bong, and he's like, "Never mind."
They stood in the back. I'm trying to kick him off before the doors close all the way. Like, boom, boom. Yeah, I just, no, I don't know. Tell me if what am I missing that you guys like? How do you guys feel? Like, what is it? Just a bad season? Say that again.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
Solely for the fact that I talked about it earlier today. I think there's a huge difference from the expectations that we have for RJ Barrett because he was a number three pick. What we really have to realize is that even though he was a number three pick, our front office never had the intentions to give him the keys and to actually like focus on making him that guy and giving him all that attention. If you did, Julius Randle wouldn't came right after and been given the keys. And now even more so, Jalen Brunson. So if we're looking at RJ Barrett and comparing him to like a one or two, then yeah, we got to ship him off. But if we look at a three, I don't see many other teams.
He's not a bad third option.
No.
Yeah. I don't know many other teams that if you compare their third options to a RJ Barrett who is playing well, granted, he needs to be consistent. Like, I understand that. But if we can give Randle a reseason after last year, I think many players deserve a one more year to prove themselves kind of mentality, especially with him being a younger player and now just kind of figuring out who he is. Because if you look at it, you have Tibbs now saying he's not a shooter, he's a scorer. Well, if you look, Coach K said that way earlier about RJ's career and was saying, but RJ's not a shooter. He needs to be a scorer. That's who he is. Make him a scorer. So now that Tibbs is actually utilizing him for his strengths, you're starting to see games like his last one where he played stellar. So if he shows up in the playoffs with this kind of thing as our third option, then I definitely think he deserves another opportunity to prove himself because I don't know many threes who can hold a candle to what he's doing.
So, I have this theory about basketball players that I like. It's like a personal thing. And I've said this on the show a bunch of times. It's like, not even like, forget about the three thing. Because, yes, that makes sense, right? That, you know, he's a letdown as far as number three. My biggest thing with RJ Barrett is his consistency and his concrete feet. I think he's incredibly slow. And I think the reason why he was never given the keys is because I feel like the Knicks always saw what he's doing now, like what he is, his inconsistency, like him going to the basket. But, like, my theory is that look in your eye is kind of a thing. And, like, I just want to see that fire and eye, that desire. And I don't – RJ Barrett just doesn't have that kind of a thing. Like, even if you look at Julius Randle, he's walking around like he's, like, the shit. Like, he feels like he's him. Whether he's him or he's not, he's walking around like he is. When you see he scores and when he does this and he does that, he's got that little, I got this. Like, I'm and it's good to see. No matter what it is, how the game turns out, you see he know he got it. RJ Barrett is not certain with himself. He doesn't have, like, that crazy enough – because he can attack. The games that I love from RJ Barrett is when he's not shooting a lot of those threes and he's attacking the basket, but then he attacks the basket, then he's missing a lot of layups a lot of times for whatever reason, one reason or the other. So it's more about, I'm afraid we're going to get into what is this, RJ's third, fourth season? Is this his third? This is third season.
It's season four.
Yeah, because and that's the thing, because we were saying one, two. We said his third season, you know, he's going to come out. And then it's the fourth season is going to be. Because we know how last year got. We got four. Then we're going to go into the fifth year. And it's going to be this whole thing, the RJ Barrett project. Whether it's number three.
I was comparing
him, like you said, because he was the third pick. And before he was the third pick, they said he was supposed to be number one and number two. Because then Zion blew up. And then Ja Morant came. And so him being a three, it was arguable he could have been a two or whatever the case may be. So, yes, earlier on, but at this point, he's not even in the ballpark of John Morant. Like, you could just forget about that. I mean, except he's not carrying guns around in the club.
So, for me, here's the thing, though, bro. For me, it's like, if we could get back that December version of RJ.
Last season, like, he was like the second half of this season. He went off.
Like, that December version of him before the hand injury, like, he was going crazy. Like, give me back that version of RJ. Tonight, what I seen though, one thing I was happy to see, because it's gonna be very important in the playoffs. Like, this shit, it can't be understated how important it is. He hit a couple threes tonight. He has to hit threes in the playoffs if the Knicks are gonna even have a chance. those 0-for-4s, 1-for-5s, 1-for-6s, like that.
Is he going to show up that, and do that?
We don't know. I hope so. See, I hope so, Jay.
I hope so, too.
He has to, yeah. I mean, that's the thing about RJ with me is that I've always said is I feel like RJ is still in that stage of experimenting. Like, I think
He's experimenting or the Knicks experimenting with him?
He's experimenting. He's 22. No one knows who if you know who you are at 22 and you're comfortable at 22, I don't want you on my team.
LeBron James.
But that's what I'm saying. The point that I'm saying about RJ is I think that he's not a one or two. I think he's the perfect three at 22 years old. I think if you at the window that we have our team right now, I think that's probably where the frustration with RJ comes in is because of our window. Now, everybody was fine with RJ at the end of the season last year. Like, literally. We come to this year, we have Jalen.
Ain't he still the youngest player on this team?
We're not going to go there because it doesn't matter now.
He's not. RJ Barrett?
Well, besides Trevor Keels, but I don't count him. RJ Barrett, he's literally the youngest player on the team. No cap, bro. You can look that up.
So, like I said, he has a lot of room.
Who's the youngest player on the Knicks? Trevor Keels, 19 years old. Miles McBride.
I just said besides Trevor Keels.
Miles McBride and Trevor Keels. It don't matter anyway.
So Miles McBride is younger than him.
So what I'm saying,
you're right, though. It doesn't matter because it's year four.
Because what I'm saying,
what are you saying, though?
I know that at some point, RJ Barrett is going to be the player that we want him to be, but it might not be here. You know what I'm saying? We don't have the patience for him. Because like I said, at the end of the season last year, with the window that this team was in, I think it was okay for him. Like I said, we weren't complaining at the end of the season last year with the way RJ was playing. He was playing the way we wanted him to play on that trajectory up. Cool. Perfect. Average 20 points a game. You're making your moves. Cool.
Yo, get out of here, bro.
Hold on.
Like I'm saying is, now, when you have Jalen Brunson and now the window looks like, hold up, if things go perfect, let's just say things go perfect, we can end up in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? That is a completely different window from the end of last season. So now what we need from RJ has completely changed from the end of the season last year to where it is now. And I think that's what we're caught in the middle of. All right, we know you can be this player someday, but we don't have the patience. We don't have that time right now. The window has changed.
We got to ban CIA, bro.
I haven't looked.
Yeah, especially that. You know why we got to ban him for the way he's so rough.
We got to ban him.
Yeah,
I don't even know what he's saying. First of all, he said
Ben Tibb.
First, he starts with this: someone in the locker room better slap Bob's Thomas Thibodeau. He's been going crazy.
He put Rucker.
So, what did
we
say? He's at bench 10.
Bless you.
I just can't. Tim, yeah. RJ needs to grab him for your OE and go post it.
Yeah, get him out of here. Yeah. Get him out of here, bro. Hey,
there's not wrong with Tim. I think I was complaining about Tim for a little while, but y'all know about my gripes with Tibbs at different spots and the different rotations and things. But this year is not. I think Tibbs is doing a great job.
Yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool with Tibbs.
Because Tibbs is a good coach, y'all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In general,
Come on, Phil. Don't do that, man. Phil, we've been here all day. Don't do that, man.
Here's the thing. I'll give credit where it's due. Mm-hmm. He's made a lot of changes that have helped. Yeah. And I'll give him the credit. The problem with Tibbs, which is, in my opinion, what we saw tonight in that fourth quarter, is that Tibbs is a pre-game coach more so than he is an in-game coach.
No, in-game adjustments. I've been saying this for a while.
In-game adjustments are his biggest thing. He always slows it down in the fourth. Today, that was the biggest thing, the biggest mistake, was that we went into our typical slowdown mode in the fourth quarter. If Tibbs could figure out how to actually be a guy who can adjust on the fly, he would be a great coach. but he can't do that. And that's the problem. He does
I would
not
say,
need the actual
I agree
situations.
With that.
And that's the problem. If he had someone even on his coaching staff that he respected enough to right. say, you know yeah. what, you're right. Cool. I'll do that. But he doesn't, because his plan is gospel to him. That is the good news. That mm-hmm. is the and he's going to adhere to it.
I'm the first person to say that my biggest knock on him is how rigid he could be. But I mean, listen, bro, like,
I feel like he'll short circuit. He does some
giving him credit.
But top 10 all time in win percentage, guys. Like he's pretty good. It's pretty good. That's all I'm saying. Is he flawed? 100%. Yeah. Absolutely. But with those flaws also comes a lot of wins.
So this is the thing that was my concern in the playoffs last year. So in the final five
playoffs last year.
The year before last, my bad. The last time we were in the playoffs. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate you. Love you, big bro. You always been there for me, man. That's why I love you. You know what I'm saying?
Love you too, man. For real.
But what I'm saying is crap, I forgot my point. Right? Just like that. Oh, the final 5 minutes and 14 seconds, we scored 7 points.
7 points.
That cannot happen in the playoffs. I don't care who we play. I don't care what the defensive scheme is. I don't care if they're running a zone. We have to find a way to get buckets, easy buckets. That's always been our problem, and that's why I don't care. When people say there's this thing going around, we talked about it earlier, Joe. Jalen Brunson's a ball hog. Get the ball out your hands, pass the rock. Now, all of a sudden, we're worried about Jalen Brunson being a ball hog.
I don't know where that came from.
It's the fact that we can give somebody the ball, but
I told y'all, didn't I tell y'all that that was coming though, y'all?
I predicted this.
I predicted it on this very show.
Why are you predicting that? You feel like he hold the ball on? I'm just asking.
So we were talking about nitpicks on that show, right? Okay. Like, what would be your biggest nitpick? And I said my biggest nitpick would be, I would like for Jalen to maybe get off the ball a little faster sometimes.
Okay, so you recognize it too.
It's really like, it's like the nitpick of all nitpicks though, right?
Yeah.
Right. Like, but I knew that if things got tough, and I believe that if, let's say we lose a playoff series, let's say we start next year and we get off to a rough start next year, mm-hmm. I believe that you're going to start seeing Knicks fans say that Jalen is kind of a ball hog. I didn't think I would start seeing it this season, though. I was shocked to see that. Mm-hmm. But I thought really that quick, it was something that was going to come later.
I will say this. I just want to go back to my RJ thing, and this is like in defense of RJ, is I think that with the lineup, with him holding the ball, this is the first time that RJ Barrett has to make the adjustment he has to make, because now he was like the number two, and that sometimes during the season last year, he was like the number one guy. That's what it felt like. Him and Julius were going back and forth with who's one and who's two.
Right.
And then, you know, with Julius freezing him out, but he had a lot more play. But this year he is number three. So sometimes he's not even part of the play. So in RJ Barrett's defense this season, he is like definitely the third guy. And whenever he can get the rock up. So I just want to say to y'all, like, I do recognize that he has to adjust
to the Knicks credit though, like, his usage rate is not really all that different from last year. So still getting the ball. He's still getting his touches. Sometimes I think his shot attempts are almost the same as well.
But there's a double-edged sword with that, because most of the reason why that usage is so high is because they do have him running a lot with the second unit.
They have him running slow with that second unit.
and I got to say, that's also a credit to RJ. To be able to be flexible like that. Coming to a team where you think you're going to be the one, and in your fourth season, you're the three, and you're still playing well with your team.
Like, it's a little bit his fault, though. But yeah.
It is. But being able to adjust like that. Like, what I always tell people when they talk about, like, the three, I'm like, yes, Ja Morant is Ja Morant. But if we would have looked at it, we could have gotten that number one pick that year and had a player who's played 114 games in four seasons. So yeah, we still kind of lucked out a little bit when we look at that. Like, all of our money could have been on a big old linebacker that's in you know, street clothes every single week. But right. instead, yep. we got RJ Barrett. So when it comes to the Jalen Brunson thing, you guys don't obviously spend a ton of time on Twitter, because within the first like four games of like Jalen Brunson's career, there was really? Talks of the ball hog. But
really?
there was a huge wow. difference that kind of switched it. Mm-hmm. If you look at the first few games where Jalen Brunson, like he had two stellar games off the bat. Then he had a few strands of like missed opportunities to win a game. He had a ton of like turnovers, and it just wasn't working. So it looked a lot worse than when it actually started to gel, because when you're in control of the actual offense and you're making wise decisions, having the ball in your hand isn't something that everyone's going to get upset about.
Right.
But when your turnovers are higher than your assists, then that's where people are going to be like, you're a freaking ball hog, because you're not making the shots and you're turning the ball over nonstop. But that took a drastic change after about 8 to 10 games of him being on the Knicks. His percentage of like his shot started going up, his assist ratio started going up, and he started looking like more of an all-around player for the team. So in that first few games, there was a little bit of bumpiness. If people are still saying that he's a ball hog, it doesn't
I just
really
seen it the other day.
Because it's, that's not merited, and like they should just delete their social media, because it doesn't make any sense at this point.
Yeah, I just seen it the other day, and I was just like, well, so it begins. But now you're telling me that it already begun.
Oh, it's resurrecting. It's not beginning.
Yeah, so it's been resurrected.
Isn't it his job?
This is what I'm saying. So if they don't want him to have the ball as much, whose hands
should he want to have the ball? Like, this is what I'm
saying. No, it's not so much that they don't want him to have the ball. I think some fans think that maybe he forces shots sometimes when he could have just passed somebody else.
The definition of a point guard is someone that facilitates the offense.
Right. But this is 2023, bro.
Right. Exactly. If it's there.
Yeah, so when they see in their eyes, he's not facilitating offense. He's kind of score first, and then if it's not there, you know, more so the traditional old school role of a shooting guard. So they're all like, yo, he doesn't pass the ball. But what they're not realizing is that when there is a better opportunity, he is passing the ball. But to them, they're just seeing shot attempts and consider that ball.
And really, though, he's
saying that about Steph Curry.
Oh, you could say that about every point guard now. Like, I had a whole debate on one of our shows.
I mean, do you think his fans say that he's a ball hog? Do they think that?
Well, no, because he's won four championships.
Nitpickers in the and Knicks fans are the biggest nitpickers in the world. Like, we are.
We really are.
We can't even be happy. We got 40
fan base. About a lot of Knicks fans, and it's very disappointing. A lot of them don't know what the fuck they're talking about. They're so emotional.
They really don't. It's
true. It's really, like, oh my God, Dre. Thank you, bro. It's the emotion. Exactly. It's the emotions, bro. It's the emotions.
It gets ridiculous. I'm like, dude. So it's funny because, so like I said to you, you might have to turn off the stop scrolling through Twitter, because it's one of those things. After the game turns, sometimes I don't even want to see the post game sometimes. You know what I mean? Because, like, especially after a loss, I don't want to hear nothing. I'm like, let me turn this off.
Jalen definitely is trauma. Because we're so used to not having a team. We're so used to nitpicking the team that when we finally have a team that's playing well and firing at multiple cylinders, it's just like, we need to complain, right?
We need something.
Right?
What'd you say, Kat?
Jalen Brunson had 10 assists tonight.
I didn't even realize he had 10 assists.
Quiet.
It's a very quiet 10 assists.
But at the end of the day,
you gotta have the ball in your hands.
Here's the thing, though. I'll tell you this.
Only two turnovers. Only two turnovers.
If we had 32 wins right now, I feel like that ball hog thing would have been like a big.
Oh, man. Would it have ever?
For sure.
If we were under 500, I think they'd have been saying all kinds of stuff about this guy. And I know it'd be Thibodeau. So I'm happy that. You know, to wrap things up, because it's over an hour. Let me stop.
No, thanks.
I just think that if it was, if we were losing the season, I think there'd be a lot.
Get him, I'm telling you, just block him, yeah. Just block him, bro. Tibbs getting no cheeks.
He said, but it's obvious.
It's obvious.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. I don't even know why it's funny. Why because, it? I mean, funny. Like, everybody knows that Chip.
Crazy. I think Chip got him lined up at the hotel.
It's funny because everybody knows that Tibbs is married to basketball. That's why it's hilarious.
That's funny because we know that he's a basketball savant. Yeah.
Like, he's in there looking at the stats, at the data.
Tibbs is working right now as we speak.
Good. Yeah, seriously. That's literally all he does is study and sleep.
Good. I don't even think he sleeps.
That's probably why he's losing his hair so damn fast. But listen, damn. I just it's a damn. I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. So Wednesday we have the Miami Heat. We had a nice little Florida trip. Back to back against the Miami Heat and then the Orlando Magic. Very frustrated, in fact, that we lost tonight because of, you know, the standings are getting real tight. We went ahead over Brooklyn, and then I don't know how does it end up tonight after that.
Well, Brooklyn lost the other day, so that helped. They lost to Denver yesterday.
Yeah, we still got a sizable lead over Brooklyn. So we're playing Cleveland as it stands right now, and we got to keep. And more than the wins, I just think we have to continue to get chemistry and to work out all of these kinks. We can't have nights like tonight where you just let random guys go off. Well, these are one-off games, but you're going into a Miami Heat arena who I think this is the last time we played them. No, we have two more.
No, we played them two more times.
Two more times. So, you know, they want payback. Didn't we beat them the last time we played them?
Yeah, the last two times.
The last two times, man.
The last time was the crazy Julius shot to win it.
Oh man, yeah, they are not going to.
That was great. That was the game. We here.
It's gonna be fun. This is gonna be fun, man. So we have to get out there and lock down a lot of the things that we've been trying to work through. Get some chemistry back with Jalen Brunson because you know he's been injured and look like he's doing all right tonight. But.
I felt like Jalen was good tonight. I just felt like Gobert really changed the game when he came back in the fourth quarter.
He did. For sure. Definitely.
Like, it's crazy to see somebody change the game the way he did without, like, blocking a shot or really, like, scoring or anything. But you could tell that the Knicks guards were aware of him. Just put it like that.
Right, yeah.
For sure.
Well, one thing I can say is the rest of the season, we don't play another team like that have two dominant, or a big dominant big in there like that. Karl Anthony Towns didn't play tonight. But Naz Reid was out there. He was doing pretty good, too. Shout out to Naz.
Naz Reid is – shout out to Jersey. Jersey in the house.
Jersey boy in the house. But, shit, man, we gotta go in there. We got to go to Florida and get two wins somehow and just do what we do best. Tibbs got to get back in that mode that he gets in when they lose and get pissed off because that's the only time that these guys really lock in. When he's happy, that's when they start to calm down. And that's
I don't like smiling Tibbs, bro.
I don't like smiling Tibbs. But listen, that's all I got, man. Phil, thank you for coming out. Appreciate you.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate you.
Anytime, man.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, good shit tonight, Phil.
Anytime you want to come on, man, just hit me up. And
we'll make it happen,
man.
Yeah, we replace one field for the other. We get rid of the other one over there on the side. You know what I mean? And we just have you host it.
Hey, man, I thought it was we'll have Phil's show tonight.
We'll have, you run it.
Yeah, nah, Phil will run it, man. Because you know you've been.
I was ready to put Phil in that top left corner. Get Cap out of there.
See, that means you did a really good job today, Phil, man.
Thank you, man. Thank you, guys, for real.
My own panel wants to get rid of me. So, listen, now you guys are all fired.
Only person they left is Ricky. Ricky ain't saying
nothing. I didn't say nothing. I was just saying, yeah, that's what some plays out.
Well, listen, man, thank you guys for tuning in. If you're here in the chat, drop a like, leave us a comment. If you're listening in podcast form, just hit us with a 5-star and leave a review, man. And that's pretty much all I got. You guys have anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Nah, man, let's go Knicks.
Let's go Knicks.
Peace, love, and orange and blue light.
And no emotional Knicks fans.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Hey man, well good luck with that.
Yeah,
bro.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Good luck with that. That's in the fabric of who we are. So but yeah, man, as we always end with, until next time, peace.
Peace.